Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Expo 2020 is a world expo that is currently taking place in Dubai. It was initially scheduled for October 20th, 2020 to the 10th of April 2021, but was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. On the 1st of October 2021 to the 31st of March 2022, the world will converge in Dubai for what is promised to be one of the most, and if not the most, extraordinary World Expo to date. I'm your host, Nikki Bow. Welcome to University Drive. My guest today, Senior Project Manager and Deputy Commissioner General, Mr. Michael Digges, Architectural and Design Director, Mrs. Valeria Flax, and artist-in-residence Keyshan Monroe, all recently returned from Dubai and are here today to share their experiences with us. Lady and gents, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, yes.
So for the past 5 years, we've been hearing about World Expo 2020, and the University of the Bahamas has had significant involvement. I remember the day that it was announced and the architectural renderings being revealed and our students' involvement. And for me, that was one of the most beautiful things about this entire World Expo was the intimate involvement that our students were allowed to have. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. For people that may not be familiar or may be hearing about this for the first time, let's give them some background information and put it in context, so that as we progress this show, they can follow along and have a better appreciation of our dialogue. So tell us, how did this all get started, and particularly the university's involvement?
So I'll take a stab at that. So for me, the journey began about 6 years ago when I think it was 2015 when I got involved. And prior to that, the then Minister of Foreign Affairs, who is now the current Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, was on one of his world trips, and he participated in the bid selection of the next World Expo. And at the time, he supported Dubai as being the country to host the World Expo, and they won the bid. And you know, at the time, the minister indicated that he would love to see the Bahamas participation, but that, you know, that we may be challenged with funding. But the expo actually embraced the support and have been, you know, really partnering with us to get us along this journey, and have given us quite a number of concessions, and has materialized in our physical presence to date. So the University of the Bahamas was approached because Dubai is very much a believer in youth and youth involvement in the development of the country. And they really wanted to hear the voices of the young people. And so it only seemed natural for us to approach the University of the Bahamas. And when we did, President Smith embraced the opportunity and opened up the university to for our use, and we will engage the art, culinary, and architecture divisions of the university to help us build this dream. And that's how Val got intimately involved, and she's been involved ever since. So I'll let Val speak a little bit more about the journey she took with the students of the university.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, so as you said, the journey started for you maybe in 2015. For us, it was about the same. I think by 2016, we were really on board. And we realized that there was a lot of preparation that needed to happen. Like Michael said, we wanted the students involved. And I saw the design studios as a great platform for the students to express themselves. With the theme of Connecting Minds, Creating the Future, there was a big emphasis on the youth and with expos. So we wanted to get the students' input. We wanted the students really involved with what they saw as the Bahamas Pavilion, what their vision was of the Bahamas in general, the future of the Bahamas, and also involved in the designing of the pavilion. And they had that opportunity and they grabbed it and they were, I think, fearless with it. And I don't want to rush through it because it was quite a process, right, Michael? I mean, we went through summer workshops with them. They had a lot of opportunities to speak, to learn to speak confidently, to express themselves with their designs. And it came down to almost a competition of the design work in the studio classroom. And at the end of the day, there was a design chosen. Those students that, they were working in groups, I'll mention that as well. They were working in groups, and the group that had the design that the Dubai Expo liked the most was the one that was chosen to move forward. And those students actually got to visit Dubai. We had a group of students going along with, we had architecture, culinary, and art. We had students going over and they had an opportunity to present to 180 countries at the time on stage, which I think was quite an experience for them. It would be great to hear from them now how they feel about the whole experience and how, and to see now what has transpired over the years too, from where we started. So like I said, initially we had the thought that we were gonna have our own design pavilion. Things changed so much over the years. I don't wanna jump forward too much, but I guess I have to, Michael.
Yes, you have to.
I have to, right, because, like I said, we saw one path. We saw ourselves creating our own pavilion, having that opportunity, but things didn't follow through with funding as we had hoped, right? So we had to make adjustments along the way. And we got a lot more students involved in the process because at one point we thought we had our own pavilion. Then it changed to, okay, we have a rented pavilion and we're gonna approach the interiors. And then we had a group of students working on that did an excellent job as well. And, you know, they were, you know, again, everybody was wowed by, you know, one of our main themes was always water. We were always surrounded by water and we wanted to focus on that from a sustainable standpoint. And we saw that evolve into so many different ways with the workshops, with people that came in and assisted us. And eventually that's I think how Keyshawn got involved because we, as a class, we were, Keyshawn was doing some research. I know that Keyshawn was doing the Drifter in Residence. And he was doing all these explorations at sea. And in one of our classes, the students had a chance to have dialogue with Keyshawn on a ship. I'm going to let Keyshawn talk more about that because that was, I think, our introduction to Keyshawn and what his sustainable efforts as well. This was before he had joined the University of the Bahamas, but it just was so interesting how the paths collided and it all came together. And you'll see, I know I skipped through a lot of points there. And as we go through our conversation, you'll see that there are so many things that happened at the beginning and we see it tying back to that 5 years later. You know, we were revisiting some of our original themes. Like I was just mentioning to Keyshawn the other day, the flamingo. The flamingo was actually one of the first designs that Expo Dubai really liked that the students did. Do you remember that, Michael?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that interesting that now Keyshawn has a flamingo in one of his pieces. So I think that's, you know, that was not planned, you know, that just happened. And a lot of things we're finding that, you know, they evolved along the way and it took us on a journey. And I think we're not quite there yet. We're still experiencing this journey. It's happening still. It's like a ongoing process. As we are, even though we've been there and we have had the initial installation and everything, the setup in Dubai, it's still a living lab. It's a living space. That's what I see it as. I'll let Keyshan talk a little bit about his introduction to the project. And I'm sure we're going to come back to some of the details as well. But Keyshan?
All right, thank you, Val. Sure. Yeah, my introduction to the project, like Val says, was basically when I was artisan residence aboard Schmidt Ocean Institute, which is a world-renowned ocean science exploration vessel. I was in the middle of the Pacific Northwest, so we were probably hundreds of miles out in the Pacific Ocean, and we engaged in echo mapping, basically using sonar and multi-beam technology to map the ocean floor. And so as a part of that experience, they asked that I make connection with either a group of persons on land somewhere, anywhere in the world. So the whole idea is to basically make contact, you know, from a very remote space in the middle of the ocean, to really draw that connection and to share ideas and to be able to not only visualize through my artistic abilities, but to also verbalize and to have conversations and to share thoughts. So I reached out to Val. Like Val says, this actually happened before I started my professorship at the university, which was in 2019. So I reached out to her and then she told me what her class and her students were working on. And so obviously I was already working on ocean conservation. Val also spoke about my Drift in Residence project, which is a project where I created a raft to drift out to sea. And I called the raft the Research Vessel Diaspora. So aboard this research vessel, my aim is to go out into the ocean drifting and to engage in various forms of oceanographic research, right? So that actually helped to secure my place on Schmidt Ocean Institute's vessel. So we had this conversation. I was in the control lab surrounded by cutting-edge technology, state-of-the-art equipment in the middle of the ocean, and I'm speaking to Val and her students in the conference room at the University of the Bahamas. And so we're speaking about sustainability, we're speaking about ecology, natural disasters, technology, and all of that. And so from there on, it was a natural progression, you know, speaking about my Drifter project, we spoke about, once again, natural disasters, solar energy, all of these things that you see present in the actual expo. They have entire sectors devoted to these themes. And I found it so interesting because everything kind of happened naturally, like once again, Baal said. So in our conversations, because the language was so similar, the themes in my work were so similar to what Val and Expo were exploring that, you know, I just was invited to, you know, share some of my thoughts. And then it just led to the point where there was time and space for me to be able to contribute. And for anyone who is familiar with my work, they know that anything that is progressive and anything that could lead to national development, I'm all down for that, because that's something that I've been working on and toward for the last 10 years plus. So I was all down for it when the opportunity came to express myself and to represent my country at Expo. And so I created an installation and I used golden flamingos that I sculpted as metaphors for Bahamian sovereignty, to speak about the plight of the Bahamas as this space that is very much threatened by climate change, global warming, sea level rise, and the threat of mega storms, you know, these Category 5 hurricanes that we have seen in recent years. And so I use my installation to speak to those themes, and I think it's very timely, especially considering what the Prime Minister just spoke to in his address at the COP. And I think that there is so much more room for conversation and education, especially when you speak about STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics as a form of education. And I think that that is where I see the Bahamas gaining strength in terms of our educational experiences and how we teach our students and how we share with the rest of the world. And I feel as though, just as Digis and Val said before, the Bahamas Pavilion is an organic thing. It's growing, it's like Junggunu, right? It's a collaboration, and we kind of feed off one another's energy in certain things. We don't necessarily have to communicate because it's kind of intrinsic. You know, you're doing the same thing because you're coming from the same place. And at a certain point, there are intersections.
Wonderful. Experience. Thank you all so much. I mean, you shared a wealth of information, all three of you, about this. And it's just interesting how you said, you know, there were so many things, aspects of it that were organic and just naturally happened. And I think when that happens, you kind of know deep down within that this is how it's meant to be. And so as we talk more about Dubai 2020, I just want to give our audience some insight. I'm, you know, from the Expo 2020 Dubai website. And Valeria, you mentioned the theme, connecting minds and creating the future through sustainability, mobility, and opportunity. And I know for all of us, those are buzzwords that we've heard so much in the last 5-10 years, particularly when you think about when we transitioned from millennial development goals to the sustainable development goals. And the world now is talking about sustainability more than anything else, because we recognize the threats to our natural and built environment as a result of climate change. And sometimes, you know, Kishan, you were talking about being on the ocean, you know, conducting research, and I'm sure people will wonder, how does that, like, you're an artist, how did you end up doing that? Like, what is the correlation? And I'm thankful that we have this opportunity, because what I envision coming out of this dialogue is an awakening of minds and an aha moment for parents, particularly of those creative persons who cannot see the viability of encouraging their students in the arts, because they think they'll just have to paint and draw and sell their pictures, and they're not going to make a living as an artist, or they have limited opportunities. So I want this show to open up the minds and the opportunities for those aspiring artists, whether, like you said, the culinary artists, the visual artists, the performing artists, the creative artists, so that we can share with them that there are a myriad of opportunities and they are not limited, that being a creative does not limit you. And so when we talk about Dubai 2020, I want you all to share your journey. You've recently all returned from Dubai. And I'm, from what I gather, you would have spent in the average of a month, you would have been there for a period of time. And I'm sure there's a whole lot to talk about. And Kishan, I'm going to get started with you, because you spoke about this sculptor and you used the golden flamingo. Speak about that, and what does that represent, and how did that all come about, and what role is that playing in the Bahamian Pavilion?
For those who aren't familiar with my work, I have been using the flamingo as a metaphor for Bahamian sovereignty since around 2010 or so, ever since I did a major interdisciplinary investigation into the sinking of HMBS Flamingo, which was a Defense Force ship that was sunk in 1980. So from then I started exploring various ways in which the flamingo, because the flamingo is our national bird, flamingo is a very elegant bird as well. And so I've been using it, like I said, in my work ever since. So with this opportunity, I've been doing a lot of research over the years as well, and I've come across images of flamingos, what happens to them during hurricanes. you know, how so many of them die, those that live, how they are injured. And for birds that represent our Bahamian culture, our Bahamian-ness, so to speak, I thought that it would speak very strongly to the situation, or like I said before, the plight of the Bahamians, or the plight of the country. And so we're in an oil-rich nation. We basically in the Middle East, right? We're in an Arab country, and it's rich with gold, is rich with oil. And so I thought that I would use gold to basically speak to our richness, our human resource, right? Our ecology, which is a different type of gold that it's invaluable right now. You cannot buy it, right? It's something that the world definitely needs. You need more green spaces. You need more pristine waters. The entire world needs what the Bahamas has right now. And so every effort must be made to protect it. And so my installation consists of two golden flamingos that are in dynamic motion, attempting to move forward. They are making progress moving forward. However, they're being held back. They're being tied down because they have encountered ropes, right, that have inhibited their motion. Just like fish get tangled up in wires and plastic, we see it all too often on Facebook and social media. And so I use the birds and I bind these birds up. And behind one of these is a tarpaulin, right? And the tarp, the blue tarps, especially in this region where we are so susceptible to hurricanes, we see it all the time right now. We see it as a form of temporary covering, protection. We relate it to damage, right? Natural disasters. And so I use that and I literally tie it to the golden flamingos to really press home the fact that we are in danger. When I say we as a nation, we as a people, we, the entire region, not only the Bahamas, but the Caribbean, we are one of the most at-risk nations, spaces in the world right now. And so my installation speaks to that. And there is a monitor just above the flamingos that shows the pristine beauty of the Bahamian waters, right? So it's a juxtaposition that speaks to what could be lost, what is being lost, and how the rest of the world, and I feel as though it is very fitting to have it at a World Expo at this very time, because we have thousands of persons who come through the pavilion. I think the last count that I heard of, which was more than a week ago, was 45,000 people, I think it was, that have passed through the Bahamas Pavilion. So you have 45,000, we had 45,000 opportunities to impress upon people that what they do actually affects the Bahamas. So when they come in and they are in awe of the beauty of the waters, they can also take away the importance of not only treating their space is good because they want to live in a healthy and clean environment, but we want to protect what we have, right? Because it is gold, it is a jewel. And so I feel as though art has always been used throughout history from all other aspects, other forms of expression, exploration, science. Science and art goes hand in hand from Lewis and Clark to all of the exploration. Somebody has to draw what these organisms look like. All of the fish in the ocean that you are able to identify, they all started off with drawings from man first started making renderings in caves, right, of horses and bison, etc. And so art is, it does go hand in hand with science. And so what I'm doing right now is just a continuation of man expressing himself. And the whole reason why I was on the research vessel in the middle of the ocean, as advanced as they are, because they deal with ocean science as well as space science. So they deal with persons from NASA, the top universities in ocean science in the world. And so it's a very sought after experience or vessel, right? And so I was there because they really understand the need to be able to reach various masses. And it doesn't matter how much information you have. If you don't have a way to share that information, it's useless, right? And so they understand the power of the arts. And that is one thing that I do commend the team, the Expo team, who have invited me to be artist in residence at the Bahamas Pavilion, because they understand that there is a connection that quote unquote artists, right, are able to make. And there are certain things that we are trained to see, there are certain things that we feel, and that, like I said, there are certain connections that we try to make by design, and then there are certain things that just happen.
Listen, I'm just sitting here in awe, listening to you, you know, explain the inspiration and the whole meaning behind your design. And I'm always intrigued by artists' interpretations, like how they come up with these things and be like, wow, like, how do you think about that, you know? But it takes a unique and special mind. I'm going to take a break now so that when we come back, we can really delve into what all of you experienced when you were on the ground. I'd like to hear more from Valeria and Michael. So we take our first break here on University Drive. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Chapter One Bookstore is your back-to-school headquarters. We are proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our coffee center throughout the semester for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael Eldon Complex. Shop with us on Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. Call us at 397-2650 or email us at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. See you soon.
Welcome back to University Drive. If you're just joining us, my guests today are Mr. Michael Diggis, Senior Project Manager and Deputy Commissioner General, Mrs. Valeria Flax, Architectural and Design Director, and Mr. Keyshan Monroe, Artist in Residence. And they're here talking about the Dubai World Expo 2020. And for those of you that may not be familiar or you're hearing it for the first time, even though this has been in the making since 2015, Dubai World Expo is the most spectacular expo the world will experience. And it was postponed due to the pandemic. But they say we all have the power to build a better world and shape the future. They want you to discover what makes Dubai World Expo 2020 unique. And their theme is connecting minds and creating the future through sustainability, mobility, and opportunity. And the expo started in October. So I'm just going to take you through their weekly themes so that you have an understanding of the scope of the expo. So October 3rd through 9th was climate and biodiversity. How do we work together to better manage climate change and protect biodiversity? The 17th to the 23rd of October focused on space. How do we safely and productively explore new frontiers? The 31st of October through the 6th of November, urban and rural development. How do we live and grow in harmony with our planet? The 14th to the 20th of November, tolerance and inexclusivity. How do we foster a greater common understanding to enable more talent and inclusive societies? The 12th to the 18th of December, knowledge and learning. How do we harness and challenge our knowledge today to prepare for the future? 9th to the 15th of January is travel and connectivity. How will we balance the impact of the expansion of our digital world with physical reality? The 16th to the 22nd of January, global goals. What do we need to do together today for a better world in 2030? the 27th of January to the 2nd of February, Health and Wellness, How Can We Create a Healthy, Happy World? The 17th of February to the 23rd, Food, Agriculture, and Livelihoods, How Do We Sustainably Grow Food to Meet Future Demands? And then the 20th of March to the 26th is Water. How will we protect our most precious resource today for tomorrow? So that's just a snapshot of what will be happening over the course and the focus over the course of this expo that spans from the 1st of October 2021 to the 31st of March 2022. And like I said, our guests recently returned from Dubai, and I want you to share your experience being there. What were some of the most astounding aspects of this expo? What were the things that stood out most to you as you moved around the World Expo in Dubai?
So I'll start off with that. I guess, and Valeria could add to this, because we both had a similar experience, because we basically saw out of the desert 6 years ago, because the site that currently the expo exists on did not exist 6 years ago. Literally, it came out of the sand in 6 years. They built a city called Dubai City 2020, and they will actually turn it into a focused on business and commerce once the expo has ended. So that in itself is a marvel, just to see them build a city in 6 years or 5 years. So that will begin my kind of fascination for Dubai, because they are a city that believe in being the best at whatever they do, creating the biggest, the boldest, and the most exciting experiences that you could imagine. And so you kind of gave a very good summary of why this expo is so unique, because it's focusing on all of those touch points that the world needs to focus on. That's why connecting minds, creating the future is such an important overarching theme, because all of those subjects that you mentioned, the world can benefit from engaging in those discussions. And so for me, to see the different countries of the world express themselves through their architecture and engineering and artistic and culinary. It's amazing that they're using all of these devices, all of these sensual devices to express who they are as a people. And we're hoping to do the same as a country where most people in that part of the world never heard of the Bahamas, which I found fascinating, because we take it for granted as Bahamians that people know who you are. So most of the time that I was on the ground, and I'm sure Val and Keishan could attest to the same, most people ask, so where is the Bahamas? And so you have to give them a geography lesson.
Right, that's true.
Its location. Like, you know, once you tell them where the United States of America and Florida exists, where Cuba exists, and South America, they get it. And I think we take it for granted because of our geographical location that everyone knows, but we also take it for granted, not recognizing that our geography actually puts us as a connector between North and South America, and we need to embrace our geography and really become the conduit between North and South America. And I trust that this expo experience will allow us an opportunity to become more aware of our own existence and our place in the world. And as Keishan said, the importance of protecting our place in the world, but also to make others aware of how, and we know it from hurricanes, they emanate from Africa and they end up, you know, out in the in North America. But there's a reason why it takes that path, and we need to understand, like climate change, what happens in one part of the world affects another part of the world, and telling those stories and raising the consciousness of all those who come and experience the Bahamas Pavilion, making them more consciously aware becomes very important. And I think just seeing that played out through the various pavilions, the 192 countries, showcasing and telling their story, to me, it's the greatest marvel of it all. And I'll allow Keisha and Val to expand on their experience.
Yes, so for me, going back and forth over the years, definitely seeing us come, well, I'm thinking when I say us, our pavilion, for instance, up out of the ground, nothing around us, not even the trains. There were no trains going into the site yet. And then to see that progression every time you go back, there's something new, there's something bigger and better. And not just at the expo, in Dubai in general, it's like they always try to do something more outstanding. You know, they have the biggest, you know, the tallest structure in the world, but no, they have to do something even bigger. Something has to go a step further. And you see that happening over and over. So whatever can be thought of has been done there. And I think that was something great for the students to see as well, because, you know, they think up all of these designs, they have all of these dreams or ideas, and sometimes you don't see them come to fruition. You don't see it being possible in the confines of where you're living. But when you step into a place like Dubai where the impossible is being done, I think it opens their eyes. It gives them a different understanding of what is possible in terms of architecture, in terms of art, in terms of sustainability, in terms of just the way of life. What stood out to me as well with Dubai was their culture, the way that they respond to people. So they put a big emphasis on the health and well-being of the people there. And their attention to those who may have challenges. That was something that stood out to me. I'm not sure why at the time, but I was filling out a form, for instance, and you know, they were talking about people who may have disabilities, but they spoke of them as people of, you know, are you a person of determination? And I think those are things that we can take away from just the culture of Dubai as well, of looking at ourselves a little bit differently, how we address our, what we may see as setbacks, and how we move forward from them. I don't think we went into detail about one of the themes, or the major theme of our pavilion too, was to express the resilience of the Bahamian people, which I thought with Keyshawn's work, with a lot of what we're showcasing, we were able to do that. But again, speaking to the people and the culture and what we have to offer, that I think stood out to me, even alongside the buildings and everything else that was so grand there.
So you guys all gave me so much that I could, you know, piggyback off of, but I want to first touch on the theme of the Bahamian Pavilion, why it was selected, and what impact it is intended to have on those who pass through the Bahamian Pavilion. You mentioned that there has already been some 45,000 visitors. When this design was being conceptualized, first the theme, and based on the concept, what impact is it intended to have?
So Val, you could speak to that, because, you know, once we handed it over to students, I think that's where it all began.
Right. So initially, of course, we were focused on the vulnerability of where we were. Water was a big issue, right? And we were talking about, you know, of course, the threat of rising sea levels, the threat of hurricanes, all of these aspects were our focus. And so even with all of the design that the students were doing, it was all about water. It was the fact that people understood that we were an archipelago. We were spread across, you know, we were islands that were, because that was another thing. People weren't quite aware. They always think of the Bahamas as one mass, you know, not understanding that we are an archipelago of islands. And so that was something that we always wanted to make sure that people understood. But what happened along the way, things evolved, things changed, because Dorian happened too. And I think when Dorian happened, there was a bit of a shift. While we still were looking at water, while we were still looking at the vulnerabilities in terms of sustainability and climate change, I think it came directly from the expo and from Dubai that we made sure that they understood, or that people understood, the resilience of the people, because we experience these hurricanes year after year. We've seen it happen, but we always rebuild. We always get up from it and we always move forward. While we are concerned about, you know, maybe we're running out of time, we do need a plan of action. We still have that resilience within us. And that was something that we wanted to make sure was showcased in the pavilion. And that is shown with our displays, with some of the videos that are shown, the artwork. That was a big, that was something that I think needed to be included as well, that people understood too. It's not just the sand and sea. It's not just the pretty beaches. You know, there's so much more to us. And I think it was important for that to be showcased as well.
Wow, sounds so intriguing and so interesting. I almost wish I could just hop on a plane right now and go to Dubai. is there an opportunity for people that are not able to visit Dubai on their online platform? Is there an opportunity for people to get a glimpse into this world that you're speaking about?
Yeah, so we actually exist on all the social media platforms. We have a focus, a media and marketing focus, headed by Sheila Bathel, who's made sure that, you know, on Facebook, we have a website, we have Instagram. So all of those platforms, as inclusive of the Expo's social media platform, you could actually get a glimpse of what's happening, not only at the Expo, but specifically within the Bahamas Pavilion. So, and we try to update that as regularly as possible. So those who can't physically be in Dubai can actually be in Dubai virtually. So we encourage as many people to expose themselves to what's going on in that part of the world, because they're changing the world, whether we know it or not. But they are active participants in the transformation of the world space.
So my next question then is, Michael, you spoke about how in a matter of 5 to 6 years, an expanse of land that was desert has now been transformed into a mega city. And not just a mega city, but a revolutionary city, a state-of-the-art city, an innovative city, a city like, you know, we've pretty much never seen before in just that short period of time. And Valeria, you were talking about their culture and the many aspects of their culture that you found intriguing. What are some of the lessons that we can incorporate based on your experience to revolutionize our country, particularly from a sustainable standpoint, where we, you know, we would have seen the impact of Irma and our, you know, difficulty in rebuilding some of these resources. And of course, a lot of times it's financial resources. But how do we take the creative innovations that have been launched and showcased at Dubai to incorporate best practices here for that kind of revolutionary thinking and ingenuity and creativity that we need?
So Val, I'll let you and Kishan chime in, because I think all of us need to have a voice in this. But okay. I would say that some of the key lessons, and Dubai is very much an example of this. You take a challenge and you turn it into an opportunity. So Val mentioned the fact when Hurricane Dorian hit the Bahamas, in fact, we were thinking that we weren't going to be able to participate, and maybe we ought to, because of the devastation, reconsider. But Dubai came back at us and said, no, that's exactly why you need to participate. People need to hear the story of our small island nation surviving a Category 5 hurricane. And what is the story behind that? And therefore, what are some of the lessons that that story could showcase to the world? And what are the opportunities that emerge as a result of that level of devastation that you were impacted by. And the resilience of the people is part of the lesson learned that, yes, in spite of our challenges, there's still hope for a better tomorrow as long as we learn the lessons of what not to do in the future. And I think we need to become far more sensitive to the products that we use. We need to become far more self-reliant in terms of growing our foods. And we need to utilize the fact that, and Val mentioned sun, sand, and sea. Well, I've always been the believer that those three attributes are not tourist attributes. They are actually our national gifts, and we need to harness them. Energy, you know, we've been given the opportunity for more Sundays. Why aren't we harnessing the energy? The sea should be able to feed us. So we need to really look at what that means. And the sand is a natural resource that, rather than exporting it, we need to mineralize it and create industries around it. And I think one of the reasons the expo exists is for people to come together, talk about these, what people may believe are crazy ideas, and see what emerges as a result of discovering what are future possibilities for new industries, and how do you protect while at the same time that you're developing and growing. So I'll let Val and Keyshawn expand.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Yes, so, and to go on with what Michael was saying, what I found as the project progressed, and as we were planning what we were going to showcase, you know, with the content, Dorian, again, that opened another perspective, that showed another perspective of what we were trying to display. For me, for instance, there was an artist out of Abaco. She was showing some of the work or some of what she had experienced with Dorian. And that touched home for me because it really reminded me of some of the work that I was doing. I collaborated with her on an art piece that's in the pavilion right now. But what Michael was just saying brought to mind what we were trying to illustrate there was there are certain things that we need to take from our past to move forward. There are certain things from the past that we've found to be positive attributes, for instance, with our architecture. When we talk about sacrificial parts of the building, there's certain things with the way we build that we can borrow from as we move forward or we're planning for how we can address these disasters, right? So all of that came to mind for me as takeaways for us, okay? So just that collaboration too, when we looked at, you know, there were some instances where, of course, the roof was off of the house, you know. Of course, I'm coming back to that as an architect. So, but there's so many things, so many takeaways. And we can, again, learn from all of those countries that are around us because there's so many things that are being addressed in terms of sustainability. Like Michael mentioned, energy. You know, we were able to visit Masdar, which is a sustainable city there near Dubai, going towards Abu Dhabi, and some of their methods, like he said, taking some of our salt water and using that for some of our farming, all of these things have been done. So it's just a matter of us using those as takeaways from the expo for us. It's all around us when we're there. It's all around us. And I'm hoping that with the students' involvement that they can see, again, the possibilities of, you know, what we have. Like, we have so much salt or salt water. We have so much sunlight, like Michael was saying. I guess taking a different standpoint again at sun, sand, and sea, like he mentioned.
I think that one of the takeaways from my experience, I've always been driven to take a project's that are in some way, shape, or form, kind of activism. And I feel as though that the Bahamas Pavilion could be such a space for activism. And my hope is that to some degree, it does affect some policy changes within the country, because we really need to focus more on sustainability, to focus more on conservation, something as simple as water collection, right? Not only just solar, harnessing energy from solar power, but also water, because even though we are in an archipelago, like, the reality is, like, we really need fresh water, right? So it's kind of weird, but we should have had something like that sorted out, secured a long time ago. So that is my hope, that this opportunity that we have right now, while we are rubbing shoulders with the rest of the world, we have an opportunity to engage in a broader conversation. My hope is that our leaders, and as well as citizens of the Bahamas, however they are able to experience it, that they actually have an opportunity to learn more from what is inside the pavilion, as well as from the nations around us, right? Because I think right now we're in good company, because there is so much to learn. You don't even have to go inside most of the buildings, just the architecture alone, right, is just awe-inspiring, is just stimulating, right? And I hope that once again, the Bahamas Pavilion and Expo 2020, especially considering the fact that the Bahamas Pavilion is in the sustainability sector, that gives the Bahamas another look at how we treat education in the Bahamas. As I mentioned before, I think that we need to really look at a little bit more innovative approaches to education, such as STEAM, you know, science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. And I feel as though we have a lot to offer here in the Bahamas. There are some institutions already engaged in that type of education, but I think we could push it a lot further.
You know, the saying, ignorance is bliss. And a lot of times the people that need to know are the ones that are ignorant to the realities. Not that they are uneducated or illiterate, it's just that they are unaware. And I speak of ignorance from a point of being unaware. How do we raise this level of awareness? How do we expose the policymakers, the decision makers, the nation builders that have the wherewithal to make these hard and fast decisions that can impact us for generations to come, to become aware of these realities, to be exposed to the Dubai World Expo in the manner that you have, to come away with the same perspective and this awakening and this foresight and this vision of what we could be, what we could do, what we could accomplish, how much more resilient, innovative, creative we could be. How do we remove that level or decrease or minimize that level of ignorance so that we get to see the results that we so desperately want, desire, and most importantly, need?
So, you know, Dubai as a country and Val, you know, you and I been talking about this. They have these modules, right? Or modules.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking, Michael. You step ahead of me. And Keisha had this conversation as well. Yeah. But anyway, I'll let you finish.
No, because when I first heard the word, I was curious as to what it was all about. And then the more you dig into it, mm-hmm. it's really about public conversations.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And people come in a communal space and they share ideas and they have a discourse on a variety of topics. And I think we need to use our public space in a more informed way. Like a virtual modules where people come in and they talk about varying ideas. And I'm not talking about popular talk radio. This is not talk radio at all. Really, what this is about is you pick a topic of concern and mm-hmm. people share ideas and concerns related to that thought or process of trying to discover, not complaining,
right?
How do we solve the challenges that we're facing? And I think yeah, we can engender that level of conversation. And it does tie into education a lot. Change mm-hmm. the conversation, as Pat Raming always say. We need to begin that process. And I mm-hmm. think Keyshawn and Val could talk more about it, but that's what the pavilion is attempting to do.
Right. And you know, all of those areas of innovation that we have touched on, you know, we sought to highlight areas of innovation within the Bahamas. And Keyshawn and I were having this conversation, and, you know, the ideal spot for it, Michael, is at the heart of our pavilion. That area that brings people into, you know, where we talked about it being at home in the Bahamas, that is a perfect place for us to have these conversations. So Keyshawn and I were kind of ahead of you with that, and we were talking about having that dialogue in that space live so that it can be, you know, people who cannot be there in Dubai can still have their thoughts shared. So Keyshawn, I'll let you have a little bit to say about that as well. But that was our thought. Like, right in the heart of our pavilion is the ideal place for that to happen. And we can craft that so that, like I said, people at home can get that same information and be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. So for me, it's just like I was back on the boat again in the middle of mm-hmm. the Pacific Ocean. Only this time, you're not in the middle of the ocean, you're in the middle of the desert, right? And you're still sharing thoughts, right? You're still inviting people to understand the situation that you are in and then that we are in, because the world isn't as big as it used to be. So that's one thing we need to impress upon people even more. And I really feel as though art is communication, no matter what type of art it is. It's a form of various forms of communication. And we, as artists and designers, we do things, some things we do very intentionally, and then sometimes we do not so intentionally. But the whole fact of the matter is we are engaged in a global conversation, right? You know, that language is limited to those who speak or can understand that language, but there are some universal languages that can be expressed. Right. And so that's how I see the visual arts or the arts in general, because there are some persons who cannot appreciate visual arts. They cannot see. Right. So it's all about stimulation. And the same goes for our leaders, our politicians, other forms of leadership. It's all about stimulation. And the onus is actually on us as well as artists, because you can't expect for people to constantly come running to you. You have to first provide something for them to want to speak to you, or you have to give them something to see, because a lot of times these people have their plates full already, right? And so as artists, as designers, knowing what we know, because this is what we have committed our lives to for the most part, we have to use our powers, our understandings, in order to make those changes, bring about those effects. It just so happens that in our case, it just requires a lot more investment, and it requires selflessness to a certain degree, because you do end up working overtime a whole lot. And if you're just doing it for yourself, most of the time it doesn't pan out. But once you realize you're doing it for the greater good, for a greater effort, greater than yourself, then that is when, in my opinion, connections are made, because we are all connected. Just as the Expo World's Fair is, we are all in different sectors from different countries, but at the end of the day, we are still in one city speaking about how do we move the world forward in a place, in a space where we can all survive and have mutual respect for one another.
Thank you so much for being guests.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to my listening audience for tuning in to this episode of University Drive. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same radio station. And for other episodes of University Drive, be sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and of course, the University of the Bahamas website at www.uv.edu.bs. I'm your host, Nikki Bowe. Enjoy the remainder of your day.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations and the Communications and Creative Arts Academic Unit at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.